The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
doubt, uncertainty as a hindrance is a very rich topic. And how it's addressed in practice varies depending on the nature of it. Sometimes you really want to understand the underlying cause or condition that gives birth to it, that gives rise to it, and somehow address that. So it could be, for example, some kind of belief that you have. And so you need to kind of really look at that belief and question it. Or maybe it has to do with something that you actually need to know. Maybe the doubt, uncertainty has a lot to do with how to do the mindfulness practice, how to do meditation practice. And maybe rather than dealing with the doubt, it's more important to actually get some really good instruction. And so you go find someone and get some help, maybe. So sometimes you deal with the beliefs, the underlying cause, the condition, you know, a more practical concern. And sometimes it's connected to a cause. An underlying cause has to do more with our clinging, our neurosis, some fear. And there also, it might be more helpful not to look at the doubt, but to look at the deeper underlying condition, psychological condition that might be operating there. And maybe that needs more attention. Sometimes it could be that there's a lot of fear. And the fear of commitment, the fear of applying oneself, manifests as doubt. And the doubt sometimes can be very clever and argue about all the reasons you should have doubt, just so you don't have to show up and practice. And so you might have to look at the fear that's underneath there. So there might be particular things that are required. In pure mindfulness practice, we don't go digging or looking under the surface that way, just really taking what's on the surface, what's directly here, and bringing mindfulness to it. So when there's doubt, it's the practice of bringing mindfulness to doubt. And when you bring mindfulness to doubt, having mindfulness see doubt clearly enough, so you're familiar with it, like I said this morning, but also not only to be familiar with it, but in the mindfulness itself, there's a freedom from the doubt. It's kind of like if you had a flashlight and you went into a dark room and there was lots to see in the room. And every time you shone the flashlight on one object in the room, you see what's there. But each time you look at something with a flashlight, the flashlight gets brighter. So the next thing you look at, you see it, but then the flashlight gets brighter. And eventually, the light is so bright and strong that it's like the dominant thing in the room. Whereas initially, it's just a little pen light, and just the darkness is the big thing. And so when the darkness is big, that's one experience of life. When the light is big, that's a whole different experience of life. So as we bring mindfulness, not only do we see what's there, but the mindfulness gets stronger, or the mindfulness finds a way to be free from what is known, independent from what is known. So if we're sitting here and doubt arises, maybe it's a small doubt, and then there's a very simple, you see it, and you see, maybe in the mindfulness practice, you note it. Doubt. And just the fact that you can note it and see it and name it for what it is, you're no longer in the doubt. You're stepped away from the doubt a little bit. And by stepping away from it, you're a little bit free from it. I guess I don't have to believe that doubt. As long as I was in it, I believed it. Now I don't have to believe it, I can see it. It's just these thoughts and ideas going through my mind, or some feelings connected to them going through my body. And so the mindfulness makes it really simple. You don't have to fix what's there. You don't have to get to an underlying cause and settle something. You find your freedom by not believing in it, but by simply being present for it. Does that make sense? So then in bringing mindfulness, the flashlight of mindfulness on your experience of doubt, there's a lot of different things you can pay attention to. So what I'd like to do is to have you break into groups of eight. So I think about four groups probably. And if it helps you, the groups are going to compete with each other. And if that doesn't help you, then there's no competition here at IMC. It's up to you. And the idea is I'm going to give you some categories, and I want you to discuss what you might become aware of if you brought mindfulness to these categories in relationship to doubt. So, for example, one of the categories is beliefs. So if doubt is made up of different composite elements, different elements that come together to make doubt, there's thoughts, there's feelings, emotions, there's the bodily sensations of it, there's behavior, there's motivation, there's different aspects that come into play. So what would you notice? How would you bring mindfulness? What would your experience be if you brought your mindfulness to the emotions connected to doubt? What would you be aware of? What are some of the emotions that come into play when there's doubt? What are some of the emotions that might be the hooks for getting involved in them? What are some of the beliefs or some of the thoughts that are connected to doubt that are the hooks that keep us living in them, engaged in them? So what's the cognitive side of it? What's the physical side of doubt? If you brought mindfulness to doubt, to the physical side, to what's going on in your body, what happens energetically in your body? What happens with the muscles of your body? What happens in your body? How's your bodily experience shift and change? What might you be aware of as you bring mindfulness to the body experiencing doubt? Also, it might be interesting to look at what you might notice in terms of behavior. What kind of behavior tends to come along with doubt? And then, finally, what kind of motivations are connected to doubt? So, physical, emotional, cognitive, motivational, and behavioral. So, five different areas. So, hopefully, someone from each group has written those down. Well, I consider the emotions, same thing here for this purpose.
But you said feelings and emotions.
Yeah, same thing for this purpose. So what I'd like is to each group to discuss this and come up with a list of things that you can become aware of in these five different areas in relationship to doubt. And then I would like, when we come back together as a group, for us to kind of share those lists with the idea that we're going to become so much more aware of the range of experiences, the range of phenomena that come into play when doubt is there, so that when we bring our flashlight, we know where to point it. Oh, look, there's doubt, yes. I know, okay, I feel, this is what I can, this is how I look for it in my body. This is what I can look for in my thoughts or whatever. Make sense? Now we can hear from representative of each group. And what have you learned that you could notice when you're noticing doubt? If doubt is just a vague umbrella term for all these different aspects, five aspects of things going on, what might you notice?
Well, for on thinking and beliefs, I can't do it. Vacillation, uncertainty, I give up, resignation, this is too hard, I don't want to, don't know answer, I can't, it's impossible, doesn't work, not the type, not me, how can I figure it out, need some help, it's a cult, it doesn't work. Feelings, insecure, helpless, anxious, depression, fear, frenetic, nervous, unsettled, grief, intimidated, overwhelmed, confused, foggy, and power. Feelings.
Power?
It was with a question mark, so maybe there was... physical. Naysayer. Create comfort. Try to create comfort. Unpleasant, uncomfortable, fidgety, upset stomach, sleepy, tired, sleepless. Contraction, pressure, headache, heat, pain, heart palpitations, backache, urge to move, restless, knot in my head, frown, tightened chest or throat, fist is clenched, adrenaline paralysis. Side effects. behaviors, shortness with people, indecision, anger, quitting, run away, shy, distracting behavior, avoid, watch TV, eat, sleep, email, WD.
Withdraw.
Internet, inability to eat, collector of facts, reading, list making, listen to talk or lecture. Talk about it, see a therapist. And motivation. We had a little difficulty with this one, but okay. Motivation, then we say lack of. Quit, become passive, get away, apathy, resolve the doubt, study, embrace my victimhood, avoid the work, effort, or what can't I do? Don't start, find inspiration, find an easy way out, find an excuse to do it or not to do it. Simplify, run, avoid, destroy, refute it, do something pleasurable, and become paralyzed.
For us in the area of bodily component of doubt, enervating and deflated. But the converse of that was also true. Anxious, tense, nervous, insecure, hunger for food, unsettledness in chest, and a general physical feeling of ungroundedness. We didn't have as many thoughts or beliefs behind all this. just what's the point and will it do any good? Which actually I suspect some of the things cluster into those areas. Motivation. All this could lead to a decrease of motivation. But conversely, you might find someone might find themselves trying harder, and that may or may not be a wise effort. It might be wise to rededicate oneself to trying to the practice, but it might also be wiser simply to investigate the doubt. Emotions, anxious, tense, uncertain, and particularly uncertain about what's valuable. Depressed, fearful, wayward, shiftless, rudderless, and despairing. The behaviors would simply lead to not practicing, possibly doing something one regrets, avoidance, putting things on hold, shutting down, eating, deciding too quickly because uncomfortable with uncertainty. And it also, though, could lead to studying it.
Thank you.
You have a male secretary.
and they gave me a hard time, I can tell you. Under physical, we came up with a response of fatigued, agitated, restless, emptiness in the gut, tenseness in the gut, tense thinking, contraction in the body, postural effect, shallow breathing, folding in on themselves, folding in on oneself, general uncomfortableness in the body, unable to sit, general tenseness. Behavior, a sleepy response, lack of motivation, different ways of distracting ourselves. We head outdoors, we head to nature, we head to the light. It's kind of a motivation kind of a thing, turn to nature. An angry response, engaging in imaginary conversations in our mind. Avoidance, we stop sitting, we stop listening to Dhamma talks, procrastination. On the opposite side, in motivation, we actually go and listen to a Dhamma talk when we have doubts. Emotions, this is where I got nailed. anger. Anger, confusion, fear, hesitancy, nervousness, frustrated, and I don't know. belief, beliefs and thoughts, I'm lazy. I should be able to figure this out by myself. I'm not worthy or good enough. This is too hard. I'll never be a nun. I agreed to take the notes if one of them would get me coffee, but I didn't get any takers. I have to suffer. I have to give up everything. I'm going to lose who I am. What's left? Who am I if I give up my personality? I'll be boring. Saved by the Bell. Who am I if I give up who I am? So, I think that's it.
Thank you.
Number four.
So for physical, we had heavy, confused, foggy, sluggish, restlessness, leaning forward, the direction, trying to solve the problem. Emotions were aversion, anger, frustration, deficiency, am I worthy, feeling helpless, disconnected or lonely, and fear. Beliefs were, should I feel connected, or I should feel connected, I should be have certainty, there's a right way to be, I should succeed, I'm not okay, I'm not enough, I'm not worthy of the Dharma, I'm not good enough, I'm not as much as, I'm unworthy, flawed, incapable, and I can't do it. And motivational, want the feeling to go away, we want to do the right thing, we want to figure it out, we want to quit, and I'm not sure what that is. Behavior, unmindful behavior is incapacitating, inability to move forward, paralysis, and escape, and mindful behavior would be to go through it.
Great, thank you. That was great. So my hope was that going through all those lists, it begins cracking the solid sense of solidity of doubt, that doubt's a solid thing. And so, because then it's a little bit hard to bring mindfulness to it. But if you see that doubt is made up of these different elements, all these different things, then by turning your attention to them, start teasing them apart, I think we're less likely to be tricked by it, be fooled by it, to be caught in its magic, you know, belief system of it all. And also, as I said earlier, by having these different things to actually look at and notice, you're more likely to begin strengthening that flashlight. So the flashlight becomes stronger and stronger, the light becomes stronger, and you get a sense of this other reality, this other way of being, being attentive and aware as being something valuable and a refuge, an important place to be, that's independent of how the conditioned things of the world are going. So even with doubt, one can step out of its orbit, see it clearly for what it is, and find one's safety, independence, freedom from it by using clear mindfulness. Oh, this is doubt, and has these different elements to it. Also, each of these things that were listed, especially the ones that are uncomfortable, can themselves be a further trigger for further kind of unhealthy motivation or an unhealthy behavior. So the anxiety that might be put together with doubt, that's uncomfortable. And it's when we're uncomfortable, that's when one of the triggers for any of the other hindrances to arise. We react away from discomfort. We react to it, try to fix it or solve it or kind of get pushed around by it. And so doubt being uncomfortable, because it's uncomfortable, there can be further doubt. And there's a feedback loop that goes on here. And one of the functions of mindfulness is step out of the feedback loop so it doesn't perpetuate itself through time. Maybe it gets stronger. So I hope that you can use that flashlight, your light of mindfulness, so that the mindfulness, the light, gets stronger and stronger and stronger until the light has a greater reality for you than the little objects in the field of darkness. So, yes.
I have a suggestion. Since these lists were so rich, maybe someone would be willing, if someone wouldn't, I would, to take the four lists and actually compile them so that.
And we can put them.
We could have something to read.
That'd be great. Anybody like to volunteer to take the four lists? You'd like to type them up? So, what's your name?
Susan.
So, why don't I
email
them
to Inez?
And if you type them all up, Inez will figure out. Will you mind? Do something. Maybe we don't have a email group for everyone, but we do have the website. We have the hindrance talks and the handouts. So maybe you can go the same place that the handout goes. There can be a separate file of these lists of qualities of doubt. That'd be all right? So the handout for the reflections and the practices are up here. For those of you who haven't taken it yet, there's now two sheets to take because it's single-sided rather than double-sided earlier in the day. And the next class will be June 5th, and we're going to do called Hindrances in Depth. Look at a little more of the deeper dynamics of the hindrances and what in the Buddha's teachings he instructed us to do when we're looking at the hindrances.